that last week on Tuesday, Priscilla Wilson texted me and said she had to go into the hospital because she had pain in her chest. The next day in the morning, she texted me and said she had had a heart attack. She's at Cedar Crest, Lehigh Valley. I just found out this morning, Lethea called me, Lethea Richards, who was her daughter, and she told me that she had a surgery, she had a stent put in for a blockage in her heart, and she just had another surgery on Friday and had a small stroke due to that surgery, she believes. So Priscilla is at Lehigh Valley Hospital. She has had her second surgery to put a stent in for a blockage and a small stroke.
All right, let's pray. Lance, you would pray for us.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. What a glorious time it is whenever we walk through these doors and see the saints of God gathered together and singing the songs of the faith and just coming together to love you, to love the Word of God. Father, we pray that the preacher would have that which we need today, that he would talk about Jesus and we would learn about him and grow to love him as we should. Teach us this day, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our books again and turn to 184. 184.
I need to make today. I mentioned this in Sunday school as well. This coming Wednesday night, Brother Robert Strawn is going to be coming to speak for us. He will be here on the 27th as well on Sunday when the Renzies are gone. But he will be here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock to preach for us. So some of you who usually aren't able to be here on Wednesday night, I hope this is enough notice that maybe you can make a special trip and come over and be here for that service. So trust that we'll try to get here as we can on Wednesday night. Also, as we've mentioned before, Gina Fry will be coming in on September 17th to give her report on her ministry there in Zambia. And then the Hitchens will be coming in on the weekend of October 21 and 22. We're going to have the breakfast there here at 9 o'clock Saturday morning on the 21st. And we'll have a good time of eating, of course, and good song time as well. And then on the 22nd, they will stay through, and then Brother Bob will be preaching and teaching that during Sunday school and the morning service as well, with some good special music included. So trust that we'll have a good time on those special events. Don't forget, I know I've mentioned this, and most of you probably already got this, but if you need a financial report for the first 6 months of this year, see Brother Jim, and he'll get one for you and also answer questions if you have one, those of you who already have a report. Those are the main announcements, I think. Jim, or, I'm sorry, Jason.
The sign-up sheet is still over here on the organ for mowing the grass. There's a few empty spots in here coming up. We've done real good here, and I want to thank you guys for helping out so that the burden hasn't fallen on one person. And there's a few empty spots on there. If you have some time next couple of weekends, grass is still growing strong, so if you can help us out and get that mowed, there's still some dates on there.
Okay. All right, very good. And one more thing right before we get back to singing, our memory verses. We've been working on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. We're going to continue learning that, and we're also going to include verse 15 now. It's a little bit shorter verse. So anyway, we're going to say together Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 15. All right? So if you'd like to turn there, we'll give you just a moment to turn there. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 15. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, very good. Let's take our books again now, and we'll turn to 423.
Stand.
of special in the message. 819, all the way in the back, beyond the index. 819. Constantly abiding. If you're able to stand, why don't we do someone this song? Other than what I was doing there, and I was thinking about this song that I'm going to sing this morning is a very well-known hymn. And how many of you, raise your hand, how many of you remember back when Dave Root and Jerry Goldner used to get up and sing in a Sunday morning? How many? Dave, you don't remember? And what a blessing that was. And Brother Jerry's been gone for 20 years, 25 years, a long time. But I remember back being a little kid just sitting here listening to them sing. And I remember the first time you guys ever got up to sing, my dad was always joking around. And he said, I asked the boys what they were going to sing this morning. And Brother Jerry said, softly and tenderly. And Dave Root said, leaning on the everlasting arms. And he said, I didn't ask you how you were going to sing. I said, what are you going to sing? Well, the song I'm going to sing this morning is Softly and Tenderly. What a beautiful song this is. Normally sung at an invitation time, but it's been on my heart this week, and I'd like to sing that for you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus.
want to sing that one too?
Sure.
Yeah. Or he's going to sing the answer to this song. It's called Coming Home.
That's when it was, 2002. 2002, Brother Jerry went home to be with the Lord. December 16th.
You better
sing my song. There it is, 542. You want to sing it with me? 542.
I'd have to sit down.
That's all right. Can we get him a microphone? Lord, I'm coming home. You stay right where you're at.
Oh,
not only did he sing it good, he sang it from the heart. And that even makes it better. Amen. And well, praise the Lord. We just had an altar call at the end, at the beginning of the service. Amen. But that's okay. That is okay. By the way, there's no set time for anything. Amen. God can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. Amen. I almost feel like preaching on the prodigal son now. But anyway, if you have a Bible, would you turn to Psalm 34, please? Psalm 34. I'll tell you, those songs, both those songs went with Sunday school real well about the love of God. And some people, as Christians, we get away from him and his love. And thank God we can come back to those loving arms. Amen. Back to his loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Amen. Psalm 34. I want to preach a message from this psalm this morning. And I just want to share an outline that the Lord had given me. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to give it back. I heard somebody say, a person got up to sing and said, this is a song the Lord gave me. And after the service, somebody said, you might want to give that one back. But anyway, Psalms chapter 34. I want to preach a little bit. This is a great psalm. And I've entitled it a psalm of victory. 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 We read last Sunday school from 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 to 22, 1, where David got himself in a situation. David was running from Saul, and he went to the Philistine territory, and they wind up recognizing him there, and they said, hey, isn't this the king of Israel? They gave him the title King of Israel because the fact that when he overcame Goliath, the ladies would sing that David slain his, Saul slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. They were giving him more credit. And so he realized that he was found out in that Philistine land. So before the king, he acted crazy. And he just kind of let the spittle come down his face and his beard and was scribbling on the wall. And the king said, this guy's nuts. Get him out of here. And this psalm right here was the psalm David wrote praising God. Because see, David's life was right there. He could have died. He could have been killed. But God gave him wisdom. It's a little different wisdom for sure. Act crazy and you'll be okay. Matter of fact, I think some people are taking heed to that today. Can I get a witness on that one? You know, somebody asked me one time, they said, is anybody in your family, or is anybody suffering from mental illness? And I said, no, I think most of my family kind of enjoy it. But anyway, I want you to note Psalm 34. I want to give us, I'm not going to tell you how many points. Yeah, I'm going to tell you because it's encouraging. I have 3 points this morning, amen? 3 points in a poem, and then we'll go home to the roast, amen? Or as somebody said last week, we'll beat the Methodist to the diner. We'll get the better seats. Amen. Psalm 34. I want us to note a couple things. Number one, I want us to know what I'm going to call verses 1 to 3 is the expression of victory. The expression of victory. David, when he was in that situation where his life was almost gone, and we'll find out in a moment that he really cried out to God in that situation, and God got him out of it. And when God got David out of that situation, the only thing he could do in verses 1 to 3 was really praise and magnify the Lord. Amen. And here's what the Bible says in Psalm 34, beginning in verse number 1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. In other words, he said, I'm going to speak well of the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse number 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And verse number 3, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. If you notice in these first 3 verses, David was just praising and magnifying, honoring and glorifying God for getting him out of that situation. Amen. In fact, he understood his victory was because of God and God alone. Amen. In fact, how many people have ever heard, did you ever sing this psalm, or did I share it with you before singing it? You ever sing this psalm 1 to 3? Oh, boy, we're going to have a lesson one day. It goes like this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. That's verses 1 to 4. That's a great hymn to memorize and to sing, for sure. But nonetheless, we have here the expression of victory. And by the way, that is exactly what happens. When God does something for us, we can't help but praise his name. Amen? And thank God for it. In fact, let me show you something. Would you turn for a moment to the book of Psalm 66? In fact, here's a unique address. Ready? 666. Turn to Psalm 66:6. I want you to see something. You see, the expression of victory is praise and glorify the Lord and sing praises and so on. Look at Psalm 66:6. Notice what it says in verse number 6. He turned the sea into dry land. And by the way, that takes us right to the book of Exodus. That takes us right to the Red Sea, right? He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. And what's the next statement say? There did we rejoice in him. If you were to go back to Exodus chapter 14 and you would read about the mighty moving of God, how he opened up that Red Sea. You remember Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and they got to the Red Sea and Pharaoh was behind them. The Red Sea was before them. The people began to panic and Moses said, be still and see the salvation of God. And all of a sudden the Red Sea opened up. Children, and by the way, not only did the waters part, but the ground actually instantaneously dried. Hard enough for maybe 2 million people to stamp all over it. Amen. And when the children of Israel crossed over in Exodus chapter 15, verse number 1, it says, then sang they the song of Moses. You see, when God does something and when God gives victory and delivers and whatever it is, we just can't help but burst out and praise and glorify him and him alone. Amen. In fact, would you turn for a moment to Psalm 126 for a moment? This is a psalm. It's called an ascent psalm. These were the psalms, Psalm 120 to 134, were 15 psalms the children of Israel would sing as they journeyed to Jerusalem on one of the three feasts that they were to go to each year. And they would sing these hymns, if you will. And one of them, they were singing, remembering the deliverance that God had given them from the Babylonians. And here's what the Bible says in Psalm 126, beginning in verse number 1. We'll read verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. In other words, the children of Israel were captive in Babylon. And you remember how God raised up King Cyrus and let those people go back. And what a deliverance the Lord had done. And so it says, when the Lord turned back again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. In other words, we didn't understand. It was a dream, we thought. It was unbelievable, amen? He goes on to say in verse number 2, then was our mouth what? Filled with laughter. Our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And then they confirm in verse number 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are what? Glad. When the Lord does something good for us, when the Lord does something miraculous for us, when the Lord does a wonderful thing, we can't help but praise his wonderful name. Thank him and praise him. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Amen. In verse number 4, it goes on to say of this psalm, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, and so on. And so we have here the expression of victory. And by the way, let me just say this. You and I can't sing praise, magnify, and glorify God when we're living defeated, when we're in captivity of one sort or another. I want you to, we're in the Psalms, I want you to turn to Psalm 137 for a moment, please. When the children of Israel were taken to Babylon in captivity, just like when the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage, you remember, they weren't singing, they were crying. They were crying out. They were being made to do things, if you will. And the slave drivers were beating them and making them work hard. And they were rigorously doing what they were doing. There was no singing, if you will, in that situation. And when the children of Israel went captive in the land of Babylon, here's what it says in verses 1-4, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down in captivity, if you will. Yea, we what? We wept. When we remembered Zion, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. They hung up the singing. Verse number 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth. They want us to sing and be happy in captivity. God's people can't do that. Saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse number 4, here's what they say. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The children of Israel had a hard time singing and shouting and praising the Lord in their captivity. No doubt about it. But as we read a moment ago in Psalm 126, when God delivered them, he put a song in their heart. Amen. In fact, that reminds me of Psalm 40. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And I cried unto the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a solid rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust the Lord. He wasn't singing in the pit. He was praying in the pit. But when he prayed in the pit and God raised him up and God delivered him from that situation, that praying turned into praising. Amen. When we get victory, we get joy. We get praise. There's a song on our lips. It's not only being captive to the enemy that takes away the song. Sometimes it's captive to our sin that takes away songs. Can I get a witness on that one? In Psalm 51, what did David pray when he was getting right with God? For about a year, at least 9 months, he was living in sin. He was trying to cover up the Bathsheba thing, and he was not obviously singing and praising, and he didn't have a whistle, if you will, and a song in his heart. Obviously, he was going through a lot of dryness. Psalm 32 tells us all about it. And when he prayed in Psalm 51, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. I'll tell you what, only when we are revived, only when we are restored, can we sing and have that joy the way that God wants us to have. In fact, here's a psalm for you. I'm not going to turn there. Psalm 85:6. Here's what they said. Wilt thou not revive thy people? Or wilt thou not revive us again? He says, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Amen. In fact, we're in the neighborhood. Turn to Psalm 142 for a moment. Psalm 142. I want you to look at verse number 7. Notice what David said. You see, we have the expression of victory. Victory is expressed at times of God's deliverance and God's doing something special. And we thank God for it. But in Psalm 142, look at verse number 7. What did the psalmist pray? He said, Lord, bring my soul out of prison that I may what? Praise thy name. It's hard to sing in jail, isn't it? And by the way, the prison don't have to be physical bars. There's a soul prison that many people have, many people live in. How many people used to listen to Pastor Pirate? I know Brother Ralph did. You guys did. You remember the island of No Sing Sing? Anybody remember that? Amen. That's what happens. Sometimes we get captivated. We get somehow, some way, the flesh, the world, the devil dominates our life, and we get put in the prison of no sing sing. Hard place to sing, amen? But thank God, I think if I'm not mistaken, the story in that Pastor Pirate goes almost like Paul and Silas at midnight in prison began to praise God and sing, and all of a sudden the prison place opened up, amen? We'll find, go back if you would to Psalm 34. You see, in Psalm 34, we find David. David is expressing his gratitude and his thankfulness. He's magnifying and praising God for what God did. Amen. And you and I need to be able to do the same thing. We see the expression of victory. But I want you to see also Psalm 34. In verses 4-7 is the explanation of victory. David here is going to tell us how he got the victory, what he did in order to get the victory that God gave to him. And look at verse number 4-7. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. He said they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Then he refers to himself. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. You know, if I could sum up this little statement here, here's his explanation of how he got out of the situation that he was in. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. You and I have situations. We have people in our lives that have situations. Amen? And if you're not in a situation, you live long enough, you'll be in one. Can I get a witness? What do we do when we find ourselves in situation? Listen, everything that is above our heads is still under his feet. In other words, he's got control of it. What can we do when we're like David and we're in a situation? Maybe we even put ourselves in that situation and our life is right there hanging in the balance. What can we do when we're like the children of Israel, taken captive by the enemy, and we're on the island of no sing sing? What can we do when either we put ourselves in the situation or somehow, some way, somebody else? What can we do? We can seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Amen. And that's what David did. He said he sought the Lord. In fact, I want you to note something. Seeking the Lord implies praying. Because he said, I cried out to him. Seeking the Lord implies praying. I cried out to him. And then also seeking the Lord implies looking for the Lord. They looked unto him. They looked unto him. I can't help but think about Psalm 121. Where the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Remember, this is an ascent psalm. This is when they're just beginning to make their way to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was up on a hill and there were other hills around it. And they're saying, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. If he made heaven and earth, then what I need him to do should be no problem. When he refers to himself through the scriptures as the creator, boy, that's his signature right there. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made all things by thy outstretched arm, and there's nothing too hard for you. What do we do when we're in a situation? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Pray and look to the Lord. Amen. Seek him. That's what we got to do. Amen. The explanation. We have the expression of victory. We have the explanation of victory. By the way, that's why he gave in verses 1 to 3, he gave God the glory. I'll boast in him. I praise him. Why? I was a poor man. I was a humble man. I was weak. I could do nothing. I was in a situation where I had to look to God. In fact, Paul refers to that in 2 Corinthians chapter number one, I believe he said he was in a situation where he knew that basically the sentence of death was already written. The only thing he could do was depend on God. Somebody said this, we'll never know what God can do until God alone has to do it. Amen? The only thing is, I don't like to be in places where God alone has to do it. Do you? Somebody said, go out on a limb because that's where the fruit's at. I don't like to go out on limbs. Amen. Sometimes God gets us out on limbs to teach us that he is all we need. Amen. He's all we need. We have the expression of victory is to glorify God. The explanation of victory is I sought him. He did it. Amen. But I want you to note in verse number 8, I want you to note this. Not only does David express victory and explain victory, but we find in this third thought here is the expansion of victory. The expansion of victory. You know, it's one thing for one man to go through one thing and see God do something for him. But it's another thing when God uses that one man's life and situation and circumstance and what God did to spread it out to others to say, hey, what he did for me, he can do for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Amen? I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 8. Here's the expansion of victory. David wants to spread it out. Hey, let me tell you what God did for me. He can do for you. And by the way, we call these testimonies in our day and age. Amen. Giving testimony to what God did. Because what God did for me, he can do for you. Amen. Look at verse number 8. He says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." What is David doing? He's now saying to others, hey, you need to taste this. By the way, have you ever done that before? Have you ever eaten something and said to somebody else, you got to taste that? Can I get away? Am I the only one that eats around here or what? I know it may look that way, but that's not the case. Oh, you got to taste that. Oh, you got to have this. What? I experience. By the way, take the word taste, put in its place experience. That's the same thing. You got to experience this. I was in a jam. I was in a situation. Man, I was broken. I looked to God and I cried out to God and God did something for me. You got to taste it yourself. You got to do that yourself. This woman called our house last night. That's why my wife's not here. She said, look, for the last 2 years, I've been on Oxycontin. And she said, I started taking this Oxycontin for a surgery and I got hooked. She said, I'm saved. I got away from God. I need help. My wife is taking her to her brother's church where it's closer to this young lady's house. Our encouragement to this young lady is this. Hey, I was in a situation too. I was in the situation too. And let me tell you how come God has kept me for 30 plus years. Let me tell you why I don't smoke weed no more and smoke cigarettes no more and drink beer no more and liquor no more. Let me tell you why I'm not doing the things I used. I cried. I saw that he did something for me. You can do the same thing. You can have the same thing. You can taste the same thing. Amen. And that's what David's doing. He's saying it was what God did is so wonderful. I don't want to keep it in my house. You taste this and see. Samplers. How many people like samples? How many people go to Sam's Club on Saturday just for the samples? If I was smart, I would go there for lunch just for the samples. But you got to figure it all out. You got this over here. The Hot Pockets are over here. And then keep the ice cream for last. Can I get a witness on that one? And you know why they're giving you samples. You get a little taste of this. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to want more. And by the way, we sell them over here. You and I can explain to people what God has done and as God is doing for us. Give them a little sample. Give them a little sample. If they refuse to buy the rest of it, that's their business. But they can't say they didn't taste it, a little bit of it. Amen? The heavenly gift, if you will. I want you to think about this thought here. By the way, there's some verses in the Bible that deal with the word taste. We find here tasting the goodness of God. We find in 1 Peter 2:3, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, we can experience the goodness and the grace of God. And the only reason we can do that, listen to this, is Hebrews 2:9. He, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. He experienced my judgment on the cross that I can taste his grace and goodness. His salvation comes to us when we're lost, especially. People somehow, some way, he gets the word to us, the invitation. In fact, there's a great story, a parable Jesus gave in Luke 14 verses 15 to 24 about a man who made a great supper, you remember, and he said, go out and invite everybody. And they said, we've invited everybody and yet there's room. He said, well, they're going to go to the highways and buy. Go out and get as many as you can. Tell them to come on in. And then they began to make excuse. You remember that? Well, I bought land. I got to go see it. What Jewish individual is going to buy land before he sees it? I don't know. Oh, I did this. I got to go prove them. And I got married. And I can't do it. And excuse you. You know what the Lord said? The end of that parable. He said, go out and go get the least of the people. He said, because these ones that have said no, made excuses. He said, they shall not taste of my supper. If you refuse his salvation, you can't taste his goodness and grace. Amen. We see the expansion. David is trying to expand. Victory's not just for one. Thank God. You know, isn't that wonderful? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man, did you ever sing that one, brother? That's a good one. No man stands higher than I. I can call on Jesus' name, and the King can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Everybody's equal. Amen. We have God's a God of equal opportunity. Amen. I want you to note this, and I'm going to go quickly on this one here, but we see in verse number 8, this expansion, we see him calling to others to come and taste the goodness of the Lord. In verse number 12, if you look at that verse for a moment, he embellishes upon what is the goodness of God in reference to tasting his goodness. In verse number 12, he says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see what? Good. You want a good life? That's what he's talking about. You want a good life? You want long days and you want a good life? You want a taste of the goodness of the Lord? And then what he does here, we see not only the call, he calls to people to come and taste, but then he counsels. And what he does, he counsels people on how they too can have victory. Look at verse number 11, if you will, because here's where he begins to counsel. He says, come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So what David does is he experiences victory. He calls others to have victory too. And he says, look, let me counsel you. Let me explain to you. Here's how you get to taste the goodness of God. Here's how you can experience blessing and victory. And there's three things that he says that they need to do if they want to experience the goodness of God. They want to experience victory in their life. Look at verse number 9. First thing that he counsels them is what we're going to call fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Look what he says. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want or lack, if you will, to them that what? Fear him. One of the first things he says, matter of fact, in verse number 11, he said, come children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. One of the first things he said, if you want victories in your life, if you want to see God do things in your life, fear the Lord. Remember his testimony in verse 7? I sought the Lord, or the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. See, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Here's what it means. Honor and respect the Lord. Honor and respect the Lord. You got Christians that don't honor and respect the Lord, and yet they want God to do great things for them. Amen? And so his counsel is, look, you want to taste the goodness of God? You want to see what God can do? Fear the Lord. But not only fear the Lord, here's the second thing he counsels them. Look at verse number 10. I'm going to put this down here. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Fear the Lord, seek the Lord. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want. That word means lack. Any what? Good thing. Seek the Lord. You want to see what God can do in your life? Fear the Lord and seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord is a major, major emphasis. I'll tell you, there's a command in the scriptures to seek the Lord. Listen to this. Psalm 105, verse number 4. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. You and I that are saved, we need to seek the Lord and his strength day by day. And seek his face. See, what does it mean to seek the face of God? It means to seek his favor. You see, the face of the Lord is what? Against them that do evil. But his eyes are upon the righteous. Amen? Seek the Lord. Fear the Lord. Seek the Lord. In fact, his testimony in verse 4 was, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And so his counsel is fear the Lord. His counsel is seek the Lord. And then finally his counsel is this. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. If you and I want to see what God can do, we need to obey the Lord. Look at verse number 13. Actually, it's 13 to the end of the chapter is where he emphasizes obedience. Obedience to the Lord is the key to answered prayer. Because we know Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Look at verse number 13 as he goes on. He says in verse number 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Why? Why should I watch my lips and why should I watch my life? Verse 15. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Why? Because the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them. Verse number 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them. Now, by the way, when he speaks about the righteous in this context, it's not talking about those that are saved, righteous positionally. He's talking about those that do right. Those who do right. Amen. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to get answered prayer no matter how you live. Amen. We have to live righteously because the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Amen. And then he says in verse number 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I want you to turn to one more passage and I'm quitting. Look at Psalm 18, please. And I'm going to quit with this. We see David in this chapter. We see the expression of victory. We see the explanation of victory. We see the expansion of victory. This is why it's good to read the Bible, by the way. When I read what God did for others, it just encourages me what he can do for me. Amen. That's one of the great reasons to read the Word of God. Psalm 18, I want you to look with me, beginning verse number 16. Living right. By the way, you can finish the verse for me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth or accomplishes much. Psalm 18, verse number 16. Here's what David said in his testimony. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters, and those waters were troubles. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. They were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place, a blessed place. He delivered me because he what? Delighted in me. Verse number 20. The Lord rewarded me according to what? My righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I've kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Look at verse 23. I was upright before him and kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. What David is saying was, listen, he's saying, I found myself in many troubles. And if you read the life of David, you'll find himself, he was in many troubles. But God delivered him time and time and time again. Amen. David wasn't perfect, and we all know that. But he was a man who tried to stay right with the Lord all the time. Amen. And try to keep his hands and his life clean. Amen. We want to be heard by the Lord. David experienced victory, and he expressed it. David experienced victory. He explained it. But then he also said, hey, victory's not just for me, but you can taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Let's pray. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the testimony of David. Thank you that David may have got himself in a situation, but in his heart he cried out and sought you, and he found you, and you gave him wisdom on how to get out of that situation. He expressed his victory in song of praise to you, to your glory. But he also explained how he got that victory by calling on you and seeking you. He expanded that victory to others. Lord, we all can taste and see what you can do. May we learn to fear you. May we learn to honor and respect you. May we learn to seek you all the time. And Father, I pray that we'll learn to be obedient to thee. When we fall, when we falter, when we have our problems, and we all do, may we come to thee, Lord Jesus, and be washed in the blood and be cleansed, that our hands might be clean, our hearts might be clean as we call upon thee. Father, I do pray now that you'll bless our dismissal in a moment. I do pray that we might be able to sing a hymn maybe on our way as we leave this place this morning. Maybe we'll sing Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior. I do pray if anybody needs to be saved today that they'll see me at the end of the service. We'd love to speak with them and help them to know how to be saved before they leave. And those of us that are saved, I pray your word would challenge our hearts in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we sing that, brother?
292.
Thank you, brother. 292, nothing between my soul and my Savior. And it's a song that says, hey, Christian, just keep everything clear and clean between you and the Lord, because we need His favor. Amen. We need His favor. Thank you, brother. Over than my usual, but I think the Methodists are still in church, so we should be able to get there on time. I'm teasing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the attentiveness of your precious people. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the counsel that we get from it, Lord, to help us to live for thee day by day. Please, as we leave this place, we pray for your watch care over everyone. May everybody get to their destination safely, Lord, and keep us through the week, Father. If it be thy will for us to gather next week, Lord, we pray that you'll bring us together safely, and we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Amen.